Okay, we're on the Rambam, the 23rd chapter of Hilchos Malvalova. Thanks to Sam, he noted that I skipped one Rambam on Wednesday. I don't know how I did that. I guess because Yud was very hard, and once I was relieved from that, I just kind of jumped to Yud Beis. But anyway, we're going to do Halacha Yud Aleph first, Law 11, and then after that we jump to 15. We just finished talking about in that halacha that if a person has a bill of sale and he loses it, he cannot write a duplicate bill of sale to that because there's possible cheating that can happen where in a complicated case. But the other way out, you could write the duplicate, say you cannot collect from any of the purchased lands afterwards. You can't use it as something to collect, as a lien. So although there is a way, if you lose a bill of sale, there's a way to write another bill of sale with some adjustment. We'll see this is not the case with a loan, a shtar for a loan. And that's Halacha Yud Aleph. Bishtarei Achovos, for loan documents, Eina Kein, you cannot write a second IOU. In other words, if the malva, if the lender loses that shtar, it cannot be rewritten because it's not possible to avoid bad situations. So Afal P, even though Sha'edav, even the witnesses on that loan, the original loan that got lost, Kayyamim, they're around. Vikanu miyado, and we make a kinyan from them. Vichazir v'shaito, and the lender comes back to Omer, and he says the following, the witnesses agree that they were the ones who signed the loan. And the malva, the lender says, shtar shekasavtam li, the shtar that you wrote for me, you witnesses. Ata avad, it got lost now, or this got burnt, and I'm asking you to write me another one. Ain kosim lo shtar sheni. Even though the witnesses says we were there, we remember it was done, all that, you don't write another shtar at all. Why? Simple. Shema paro. Maybe the guy paid him back. If the guy paid him back, you know, although, and they could have ripped up the loan. Or mechala. Or perhaps the lender was Michael on that loan. Okay? Now, and look how far we go. Even if, let's say, the original loan was to be paid off at a certain date, okay, and the lender says before the date of payment, he says, I've lost my shtar and I want to have another shtar, and I have witnesses to show that I have the original shtar. And remember we said already, there's a chazaka that the borrower will not pay back before that time. Even that, still, Ve'ena gova be'edim elu, he cannot collect with these witnesses klum at all. And the reason why, the counter say, because a lost shtar is the most indicting thing against the creditor. Because why in the world don't you have the shtar? That shtar is gold. Without that shtar, you can't collect. Now let's figure out what is the more greater likelihood. Is it more greater that it's been paid off or the guy lost it? Okay? So therefore, that's how powerful that negative aspect of not having the shtar in your hand is. The only exception is, Elim Alova Omer, unless if the borrower would foolishly or honestly or dishonestly say, Lohayut Vermon, I never borrowed any money from you. Now let's look at the scenario here. The lender is saying, I lent you money, I lost the shtar. Guy said, I never borrowed any money from you. He says, hold on. You never borrowed any money from me? Brings the two witnesses of the original document. Now, of course, we couldn't write a new document for that. We couldn't collect on the testimony of those two witnesses. But now that the borrower says, or the potential, whatever, he says, I never borrowed it. Well, your word to say you never borrowed against two witnesses that testify you borrowed it, what does that tell us? It tells us, Shezeh Huchsa Kafron. Now we know he's a liar. Because remember, it's two is gold. One guy is worth nothing. They do some because their testimony that says, yes, we were there, we signed it, we sealed it, we everything, even though the document is lost and would not allow him to collect because if the borrower would say, I paid you, or it was you forgo the loan or whatever, that would be okay because that's not inconsistent with the fact that there was a loan that took place. And the fact that the shtar is not there really takes away from the power of the collector. Moshe's bar is explained, but what if we prove that he's a liar in face of the two witnesses, then it could be collected with the testimony of the two witnesses. Okay, now we go back, we go forward now to Halacha Tes Vav, to where we left off last time. Question?
Joseph, you have to be pretty stupid to say that if he's already in a good position and there's no shtar.
Well, here's the thing. Now let's say Shelly, you're a smart guy. Shelly, you're a smart guy. Let's say you were the Malva, okay? And you know you lost it. Okay? And you learn Rambam, right? And you're hoping that the guy who borrowed money isn't as smart as you. So you're not gonna go home and say, I lost my shtar. You're gonna say, can you kindly pay the shtar you owe me? Now, when you do that, you're not giving out all your cards yet. And then you'll wait to hear what he says. So if he says, I paid you back, okay, now it's going to be tough on you. But if the guy might want to lie and say, I never borrowed from you, says, never borrowed from me, huh? Brings the two witnesses. Well, they seem to say that was so, and they have everything. It's just that I have a lot. See, you don't put all the cards on the table. Now, on the other hand, if you say, go to the bar and say, you know, I lost the shtar. So, and the guy's smart enough to say, you lost the shtar, I paid you. So that's why, you have to set him up to put the noose around his neck. Okay. Halacha tesvav. Here's an interesting halacha. Misha para miksas chova. Here's an interesting scenario. The guy, you know, it's time to pay the $100. He doesn't have $100. Now, if you want to collect from a guy $100 and he says, listen, I don't have $100, I have $50. Would you take the 50, not Michael the rest, but you at least take
the 15, you owe me.
Okay, you take the 50, right? Now, but wait a minute. What are we going to do to record that this happened? Now, think of the options that are here. You have the shtar. You're the malva. You have the shtar. The guy was $100. It's the due date. And he said, I only got 50.
It's the minute.
So you're not going to say, I'm not going to take it. So now, let's think of what are the two possibilities we could do over here. Either we rip up the old shtar, or we amend it, and we say, now it's only a shtar for $50. Now, wait a minute, though, but when's going to be the date on that shtar? We'd have to go back from the time of the date, because you want to collect from any, there's liens on the lands. You're not going to date it now. You're not going to make it a smaller loan, because you, the creditor, are going to lose. You want to be able to collect from the time of the date. So we could either, you know, rewrite and say, this was a loan that took place 2 months ago, and now he's paid off, and now it's $50. Which is a bit of a hassle because you'll see, you know, because you got to write another shtar. But there's another option. What's the other option? Give him a receipt. Give him a receipt for the 50. Now, which solution is better for who? Now, the borrower would prefer which solution? The first one. The first one.
Rewrite it
because he doesn't have to hold on to anything. Right? The second solution puts a little pressure on the borrower because what if he loses the receipt? In other words, if we keep the original shtar, says he owed 100, and now he's got this receipt, said he paid 50, what if he loses that receipt for 50? What's going to happen? He's got the 100. So that's another piece of paper he has to keep track of. On the other hand, let's think about it. The creditor, he's got to hold on to a piece of paper no matter what. So what does it matter if he says it's $100 or 50? It's just a hassle. And either way, something's getting rewritten over here. But the question is, who has to have the extra headache of watching onto that thing? So this is what the Rambam says. Imratz, if the Malva wants, if the creditor wants, we're going to see the ball's in the creditor's court here. Machliv, you can exchange that old shtar. V'koisel and beis the shtar acher. The bezin writes a new shtar. Bishar achov, from the remaining balance. But look, mizman rishon, but from the earlier date. So he still holds on to that early date to collect from the lien on property. Avolo ede hashtar, but the witnesses alone, they cannot write a new shtar. Only the Bezdin can write a new shtar. However, the imratz, if the malva wants, yichtov shover, he can also just write a receipt, and the other guy's got to hold it. Now, the malva seems to have the upper hand. Now, why does the malva have the upper hand over here? And the answer is obvious. Because the creditor didn't pay the whole loan off. The malva's saying, listen, I lent you the money. Today's the due date. Just pay me the money. Now, you're really wanting to tell me you're paying half. You want me to be patient with you. So listen, if I have to be patient with you, I'm going to do what suits me better. We'll see, this will be in contradistinction, as we'll see after Marif. What if the guy pays off the whole thing and now wants a receipt or whatever? We'll discuss that after Marif. Rabbi Chaim. Alright, let's continue. So now we did Tezvav. Now we're on Tezayin. So Tezvav, he only paid half. Now what if he pays the whole thing? How do we square things at the end of the day? Halacha Tezayin. Haboli fra chova, the guy wants to pay the debt off entirely. Everything's fine. Varma malva, However, everybody agrees. Let's start this off. The Malva says, you owe me $100. The Lova says, I do owe you $100. The Lova says, here, I'm going to pay you the $100. And everybody's agreement. There's one little problem here. The problem is, so the Lova says, look, I'm giving you $100. So let's have the shtar, and we can rip up the shtar, and everything's fine, right? And the Malva says, well, I'm really sorry, but Ovid li ashtar, I lost the shtar. I don't have the shtar. But nobody's arguing. It's not like the Lova saying, you didn't let me. He says, you let me. I'm paying you back. But now we have a problem. How are we, without a shtar, what are we going to do to show that it's been paid off? Now, it could be he honestly lost the shtar. It happens. Could be he's hiding the shtar and may want to whip it out another day to collect again, right? So now we don't know. So what happens? Hareza yichtov lo shover. First of all, the malve has to write for the lova a receipt, the yifrakochova, and he pays off the debt. Now you're saying, well, that seems reasonable, but wait a minute. It's not so reasonable because the lova now for the rest of his life has to watch that shtar. 10 years from now, the Malva gets to say, you know, let me try this. You know, and you know, how long do you keep your tax returs for? Right?
7 years is long.
All right, okay, but
this is infinite.
There's no, yeah, so really you've created a problem. Now, on the other hand, the Lova has done everything he's supposed to do. It's not like he only paid half of it. He paid everything. Yeah. I don't want to have this monkey on my back. You know, he managed to have, you lose that one little piece of paper, it costs you hundreds of dollars. So the Lova, we give him at least a little bit. Really, there isn't a lot you can do, unfortunately, but we can make the Lova feel better. The Lova can make one of these, you know, excommunications, you know, although not to you, you know, but in general, we say, Amisha Kovish Sharvatenshov, he says, you know what, I pronounce an excommunication on anybody who would happen to, hold on to a shtar and say he lost it when it's time to collect. Okay? So at least, you know, he at least feels good that, you know, the guy should help us get some kind of curse if he really is holding back. But it goes a little step further. What if the Lova is kind of suspicious? He really thinks, you know, and I've heard stories about this guy already. It's not the first time I've heard a thing over here. Vimton alova tanas vada. If the Lova says with certainty, now I don't know how you could be certain about this, but if he is with certainty, Vamer hashtar etzlo, you've got the shtar. Va'ato hinicho bekiso, and right now you're putting in your pockets. In other words, you know, and he's not happy with this. And, you know, in other words, give me the shtar. I want to see the shtar. Because I know you got the shtar. And the guy says, I ain't got the shtar. I told you I lost it. Well, now the Lova's a little bit upset now. If he really thinks that it's there. So now we go a little further. Now we put a little teeth into this. Horu rabosai, my Rebbe's paskin what we do. She shava hamalva hesis. The creditor has to make a rabbinic oath. She'ovet ashtar, that he indeed lost the shtar. Now that's already a little more serious. You know, do you want to say God's name in vain? You know, for the possibility to try later to come and collect from a shtar? Now remember, the guy still has a receipt. So is it worth it? Let's put it this way. If the guy really, has held a shtar, for what purpose? Just to aggravate the guy? You know, there's two things you do. Some people just like to aggravate people. You know, there are people in the world that, you know, I'm not gonna steal from the guy, but let him sweat it out for the rest of his life that he should never lose this thing. There are people like that. Or there could be, he might want to try to pull it off a few years from now and say. So the guy said, now you make an oath that you gave it back, that you really lost it. So now if he really has it, he can say, I just happened to find it all of a sudden, you know. Because to invoke God's name, it's right. So then the guy will play his debt, and then you write the receipt. In other words, he would swear that he lost it. At least he had to do something that wasn't comfortable. Even if he indeed lost it, but if the Lova is kind of sure he's got it. Again, I don't know how he could be sure about that. He could say, well, I just saw you had it 2 days ago, let's say, or whatever. So if he's confident, then he could make him make the oath on that.
So we see when someone buys land, it's up to him to do a due diligence to make sure there's no loan and liens against that land, and therefore before he buys it, he has to do that, or he takes his chances and there's lots of noise. So if somebody didn't have a shtar and somebody paid it off,
wait, it doesn't have a shtar.
Right, so now I'm saying we know.
But there was a shtar. No, there was noise made in the beginning.
There's noise made in the beginning. So there's noise. So now I'm just saying that we have a new situation where the guy loses a shtar, and the other guy goes to pay it back. So wouldn't there be lots of noise, and wouldn't the court track that, hey, his was a loan, there was no shtar, the guy paid it back, so it's done. So he could never go back and try to...
The courts don't seem to keep records of all this.
But who's keeping records of the loans and the outstanding?
No, that's not... It's known. It's out there. It has a code. It has
a...
I hear what you're saying. You're saying let every... First of all, you're saying let every person take records of everything. That's what you're saying. Well, the problem is, what happens if these guys move?
The exceptions.
When these guys move, go to other courts. It's not the day where you have, you know, internet and everything's on file. Wherever, if you're in Saskatchewan, you can see what's going on in Ottawa, right? So it's, you know, therefore you got to hold on to your papers. That's really what it is. Yeah, in a more perfect world. Because these are the Gemara now, right?
No, I know. But
and we can't assume.
How do we expect the guy to know about the liens and the outstanding loans?
Well, you have to learn Torah. Every boy has to be a scribe.
The record taking isn't very good.
But when a guy takes a loan, people talk about things. You go to Bezdin. It's not like it's just between me and you. We're going to Bezdin. We're getting two witnesses. They're signing on it. We're proving these are honest guys. Word spreads.
I guess Shelley's question is, when the loan gets paid off, won't there be witnesses and people know that...
You don't have to have any witnesses that...
No, but
you
I
don't
mean,
need a witness.
I'm saying if you pay it off and there was no shtar because the guy lost it, maybe there be noise witnesses and you want noise.
All you need is a receipt. And the truth is, just don't lose your receipt. It's not the worst thing in the world. Don't lose the receipt. And you can't, there's not as much noise when people pay back as much as when they borrow. That's just the realities. Yeah, I don't know. We didn't set up. And remember, you can go to other courts. It won't help what you write over here, necessarily. Right? The guy, what if they're, remember, you can collect in a different city, can't you? What if these two guys happen to both move? 5 years later in a different city, the guy still got that shtar. Right? So it's not going to help that it's written in the other court. Okay, Yud Zayin. Now, mi shehoytzi shtar chov b'mana. Now, here's just a little technical kind of things here. Let's say there's a shtar for $100. It's not yet been paid yet. And let's say the fellow wants to, he has the shtar written for $100, and he says, asoli mimenu, I'd like you to redo the shtars. I don't want to really change a lot here. Just make it shnayim v'chamishim chamishim. I want to turn it into two credit notes, two IOs of 50 and 50. Okay, so really, I mean, with same terms and everything, you know, the date's the same, you owe me the same thing, but he would like to do this, and this is something that, let's say the creditor would like to do this. So, ein osin, we don't do it, especially without the desire of the borrower. Why? Interesting idea. Sheshchusu lalova, the borrower prefers to have one big loan. It's better for him than two small ones. Why? He'd prefer liyos hakol b'shtar echad, that everything should be in one shtar. Because why? Because when the time comes to pay, okay, unless he doesn't have all the money. So he'd prefer to pay off part of one shtar and still owe money on the rest than to pay off one shtar completely and have another shtar that's totally outstanding. Why? Because if you may recall, many, many moons ago, we said halacha. He says, she'im yefrenu mixas, if he's part of it, nimtza shtar apogam. He's ready to put a blemish into that shtar. And we say a shtar that was paid partially is a pogam. And a pogam shtar can only be collected. The guy now, when he collects it, has to make a shvua. We learned that long, long ago. So the creditor would prefer, the borrower would prefer that be one loan. So when he pays off part of it, the rest can only be a little bit on safer ground, that it can only be paid if now an oath is made, because once you pay part, you know, the guy can maybe find a way to get out of it, whatever, but he'd prefer that. And the reverse as well. What if there were two credit notes of 50? One was written on one day, and the guy brought a little more later, wrote a second credit note for him. And I'd like to make 100 on this. Ain't osinlo, you don't do this. Ela osinlo kiyum lechalechavet, but rather we maintain each and every one of them. Again, sheshchus olava, that there is a different advantage to the borrower. Liyashnayim, to have two, in other words, there's two different ways to be a benefit. We don't know which one he prefers. Shelo yachov osobadim babas, he can't collect everything in one time. Ligbosakol, to collect it all, because if he turns it into one star, then he can collect it all at one time. So in other words, it could be two different ways that the borrower would benefit. Sometimes the borrower would prefer to make the shtar a shtar pogum, and sometimes he prefers to have to pay it all off at one time. So there's different benefits, so only if he's agreeable to that do we allow it, otherwise we don't allow that to happen.
Maybe it's up to him, maybe it's, I just think it was, if they combined it to a later date, it would affect the lien status, but maybe it wouldn't, it's more for the, if he sold it, but maybe as for the third party, it's more effective and more of an issue.
But either we don't have to come on to that. We don't have to come on to that because he just would not prefer it anyway.
But wouldn't it be beneficial to the borrower for a later date?
We can't do that to make it harmful for others. Uh-huh. We're just looking to between. We can't do it anyway because the borrower might not like it. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So we just leave it at that. We don't have to go any further.
So in the second part where there's two 50s, there are different dates? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, because who would write two on the same day? Why would I write you 250 IOUs if I'm borrowing the same day? If you're buying 100, you're doing 100. Right? So it's two separate dates. Okay.
But at the beginning of that, I thought we said it was 100.
Started with 100, then he wants to break it down into two smaller ones.
The same date.
Well, obviously, because he borrowed the 100.
Right, so why?
And even if he's willing to do that, the borrower could say, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
But that is an instance.
Could be the lender is, Dafka knows he only has half the money. He would like to reduce it so it won't be a shtar pogum. Right. That he won't have to make an oath later. The mom says, no, I'm going to stick it with a shtar pogum. Yeah. So we give the borrower some benefits over here. Halach Yerches. Hotzi, now here's a really interesting case. Hotzi shtar chov b'mea. Let's say the creditor says, here's a credit. No, you owe me $100. Everything's a kusher v'yusher. Bernie says, you know what? I'm going to do you a favor, man. I'm going to do you a favor. Kro'u, let's rip up this shtar that says you owe me 100. V'kisuli shtar achmed, I'd like the bezin to write me a shtar that he only owes me 50. Right? And that's all he has to pay me back. Okay? Let's say he goes to court. He goes to the court and says, hey, here's 100, a credit note. Everyone says, yeah, for sure. You know, let's rip it up because he paid me 50 last week. And let's just write it. He was busy, this and that, and I'm doing him a favor. And let's just rip it up. And whatever it is, let's write it now that it's 50. And I'm only going to collect 50 from him. So you figure, well, why not? Well, what could you lose over here, huh? Ain't showing you. Do not listen to the creditor. Why? Because maybe, wait a minute. Shema pro'akol. Maybe he paid the whole thing. V'kasav lo shover. And he wrote him a receipt. Almeya. For 100. Right? Now, what's gonna happen? But what credit note does the lender have now?
A separate one on 50.
V'yotzikimze, he's gonna, I'll start him. So the guy's gonna say, look, the guy owes me 50. The creditor will bring out the receipt, hey? The creditor's gonna bring out. Since Yomi's gonna say, wait, Eshtar, I lent him twice. I lent him 100 and I lent him 50. This is the one that pays back the 100. But for the 50, he never paid me back and there's no receipt on 50. So you never know how far the criminal mind can go. And therefore, the guy's just in a very nice mood to say, I'm gonna just lock it down to 50. And we'll say, let's ask the Lova if he would like us to do this. And without that, it's not allowed. All right, let's do another halacha or two in honor of Super Sunday. Learn a little more Torah. All right? Perek Arbav Esim, chapter 24.
Zechut of which team?
Zechut for Klal Yisrael. To counteract all the less Torah that's being learned. We will learn a little more Torah. Okay, Kfar Be'aron already explained. A little bit is a review, repetition, but it's going to be a lot more new points brought in over here. We already explained in an earlier chapter, halacha hey, Shishtar chov sheyesh bo kinyan, a credit note that has a kinyan on it. So you're going to make a kinyan with it. Kosvin oso lalova, the borrower can ask the bezdin to write a credit note. Afal pishen amavim, even though the creditor is not there, because there's nothing the creditor could lose. In other words, a guy comes and listen, I write a credit note, please, that I owe Chaim Yankel $100. Okay? And I'm telling you, and you can have witnesses, the borrower, the lender isn't there. Well, we could do it. Why? Because what can he lose? What could the lender lose? No, you're going to have to, he owes you 100. No, he doesn't. Okay, then don't collect it. Right? So that can be done. And we're going to list a number of shtaros that can be written without the other party. And then the second half of the law is going to tell you shtaros that have to be written with both parties. That's basically what it's just telling us in this rule. V'chein kosu shtar lamocher. You can write a shtar for the seller. The seller can write a bill of sale. Even though the buyer's not there, he can say, "I sold him this property." You can have the creditor can write a receipt that they'll give to the borrower, even though the borrower isn't with her. And similarly, you can write a credit note. The husband who divorces his wife, who has to pay out the ksuva, can write a credit note. That the ksuva was, the woman can write the credit note that her ksuva was paid off. In each case, it's the person who's not here is benefiting. The husband is happy that there's a receipt saying she accepted the thing. Afal pi shein bal, even though her husband's not there. Similarly, if a get la'ish, you can write a get, afal pi shein ishtim, even though the woman's not with him, because first of all, a man can divorce his wife without her consent. So what? Of course you can write with her there. Aval ein kosvim shtore erusin unesuim. Now, stop. Those are the ones you could do without the other person there, because the other person only benefits anyway, so what's it matter if he's not there? The next list, you have to have both parties here, because the other person may not like it. Aval ein kosvim shtore erusin. You don't write, you can be Makadish, a woman with a shtar, right? Doesn't have to, there's three ways. One's a shtar. You can't say, well, the man's gonna write the shtar and marry the woman, and the woman's not there. No, you can't quite do that if the woman's not there, because maybe she doesn't want to get married to the guy. Then nesuim, and similarly nesuim. Here nesuim does not mean a shtar that there was a nesuim, because there is no such thing as a shtar for nesuim. But the commentary says it's a shtar psikta, which means it's a different shtar altogether. It's sort of like the tanoim, where both parents, the father of the chas and the father of kala, have each agreed to pay certain things before the wedding. So that too, you can't write with only one side of the family there, not the other side. Yes, we agreed to this, and you agreed to that, but you're not here. So we don't write the thing if they're not there. Ushtere erisus v'kablonis, and also a shtar for sharecropping or of straight fee. In other words, if a sharecropper, let's say, gets 30%, the owner of the property can't write a sharecropping agreement without the sharecropper there. Or there's a second word, it's not a percentage, but it's a straight fee. That's kablonis. A straight fee for the year. If the sharecropper or the fee guy isn't there, you can't do that. Ushtere b'redonim, and another shtar is where two people are conflicting as to who the judges should be. And we know what happens. Each side picks one judge, and then the two judges pick a third judge. Well, that's it. You have to write a shtar for all that, that so-and-so was picked by him, and so-and-so was picked. So you can't write that kind of a document unless both litigants are both there. O shtar tainus baladimim. Or if you're going to have the recorded claims of the litigants, it's a shtar with the recorded claims of the litigants that's brought to court, can also not be written unless both litigants are there. The chol masa bezdin, and all these acts of bezdin, that we're talking about, Ella Midash Shneim, only with both people here. In all the last 6-7 cases we listed, both sides have to be there. Vechol Hashtar Zeil, and all these stars, especially the last ones, which aren't really such legal in terms of payments, but even the last ones that say, you know, what were their points, and who were the Bezin over there, even when you write those, certainly Zar become, you have to be very careful when you establish them. They have to really be written in a very proper way. Kishtar shtar, so like any other shtar where there's loans. You got to understand a loan document. You got to really be careful how you write it, because anything wrong, the guy could stand to lose a lot of money. You might think we don't have to be so careful when we're just writing a document as to who the judge is. He picked him. There's not really money directly there. No, you got to be just as careful for it without taking less of that. Let's do one more. Very easy. Halacha base. Now, here's the question. All these, you need a sofer to write the document. Who's the one who has to pay the fee to the sofer? Uminoi sin schara sofer. Who pays the sofer for this? So it depends on the nature of the document. The simple rule is this. Who's the guy who benefits from this happening? The guy who benefits from it is the guy who should be paying. So for example, bishtari halva, when you talk about a loan document, who benefits from the loan? Obviously, you're going to make the creditor also pay for that too. The borrower has to pay the fee of the sofer. How about a bill of sale? Well, who's the one who really benefits more? Halokech, the buyer, because the buyer is the one who's happy that he has bought a piece of land. Interesting. I know you could hear the other side. The seller's also happy, but usually a buyer makes a bracha if he buys it, right? The seller doesn't make a bracha. So there is more enjoyment for the buyer. Halokech noisa sachar. Vaisha, now here's interesting. Who pays for the get? The woman pays for the get. Now it's very interesting because it's contrary to what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the husband pays for the get, and because that's what the Torah says. The Torah says, "Vekosav," he writes it, "Vanasi," he gives it. So if it's his doing, he should be paying. That's what the Gemara says. However, the Rama is revealing what the custom evolved, but the custom evolved that the woman pays. Why?
But she can be in a good.
Yes, exactly. Because if the husband would say, you know, I'm not that excited already. Oh, I got to pay also. I got to pay. You know, I'm going to think about it. So we try to make it conducive as possible to make the husband be agreeable to it. So the custom evolved that the woman paid it to make sure it gets paid. Yeah?
We learned earlier about the whole series for repossession, that there's all these different stages. There's a lot of writing in there in people's time.
So I'm not sure who pays for it. The Rambam hasn't talked about that yet.
In each case.
I would assume the guy who borrowed should have to pay for it because he defaulted. That's what I would think, but go collect.
Yeah.
If a guy's got money, who obviously got money to pay for the sofa? I think that's a moot point under those circumstances. Well, then the other guy's borrowing money. Well, this guy borrows money, he's got money right away. He gets $100, give the first dollar to the sofa. But if the guy doesn't have money, If he had a dollar, he collected at least a dollar from him.
Right.
So I guess the Malva would have to write just for lack of the fact that there is anything else.
I don't understand it. The Gemara says the guy's got to pay for the get. How come we can just make a custom that?
Because the rabbis want to make sure that women don't get stuck not getting a divorce.
No, I understand that, but halacha is a halacha.
Gemara's not good halacha.
The rabbis are allowed, why don't we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos? The Torah says the rabbis can do a lot of things to make sure that Jews practice their Yiddishkeit better, even to override a biblical law. So if we have no problem with us not blowing the shofar on Shabbos, we shouldn't have too many problems with a woman paying for the gift.
In other words,
the rabbis have to apply the Torah and see that the situations will, so when the rabbis saw we weren't careful, Hilchah Shabbos, they said, we're not going to blow the shofar on Shabbos. That's a big, powerful thing. This is relatively minor compared to that. Yeah. So yeah, the husband should pay for it because he's got to write it. And it's like, yeah, but when we see that the times have changed, that husbands are terrible people, and because of that, we're risking a woman never remarry. So the rabbis step in and do these things. That's what the whole point of the rabbi's job is, to try to balance things a little bit. Now, how about a chasen and kalav? A chasen nice and schar star eris and oyin nesuim. Just like, I don't want to say it the same way, but just like the buyer pays for the shtar, so the husband is acquiring the rights to have the woman, and he's getting a lot of pleasure, he's getting more hana marrying the woman than the woman is getting from him, so he's got to pay for all those documents. V'amakabel, v'cheino aris, and the guy who works on the field, either with a percentage or a straight rate, or a sacher, or the guy who's hired, no sein schar ashtar, he pays for the shtar because he's benefiting from the percentages. Avol shtar beris adyanim. What about that shtar where you have to pick who the third judges where both sides are litigants? O tanis v'adinim. Are we writing the recorded claims of the litigants? And obviously shneim nostim. They both should pay because it's in both of theirs benefits.